are now listening to the Serious Growth Podcast with your host, Leo Costa Jr.
I get up and I have probably a couple of meals before I hit the gym.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know the when I was down in Venice Beach, it seemed like the popular time was like around 10 o'clock, 10:30. The pros cart, they start coming in.
Yeah.
Their asses out of bed.
Fuel.
Yeah. Got fueled up.
Yeah.
Anyway, hey, how's this stuff been going on in Australia with these lockdowns?
Not too bad, actually.
Not bad.
I mean, look, we're in the Australian Capital Territory, which is probably one of the places with the least amount of restrictions right now. So yeah, we're quite free to sort of, I guess you could say, to get out and do exercise and
what we need to do
without any sort of restrictions or needing to wear a mask, that sort of thing at the moment. So yeah, it's pretty relaxed, I guess you could say.
I talked to, there was somebody that I can't think of her name, but she's a competitor from Australia, and I guess where she's at, it's been pretty restrictive. You know, she's been, of course, you know, depending on who you talk to, you have a different perception, and depending on where you live. I mean, like with us down in the LA area is worse than where I'm at. I'm 200 miles away. I live 200 miles away. It's rural and it's smaller, and it's a different situation. When you go to LA, it's, you know, a lot more
with the city.
A lot more with the masking and all this crap that's going on. And it's just been really an interesting thing. It's changed the way business is being done in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
And probably changed forever. You know, I don't know.
100%.
Has it impacted your business at all and stuff that you do?
So I'm a trainer at Parliament House, and we have a gym there, which had to close over a period of time.
Yeah.
The gym's for all the parliamentarians and the senators who work at Parliament. So,
I see.
For a couple of months there, it was completely closed, which kind of impacted me on that respect because that's my part-time job. We had gyms close here as well, which impacted on my personal training business too. So
let me get this right. You're training people in the Parliament? Is that what you said?
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah, so I'm a trainer at Parliament House.
They have their own gym then?
They have their own gym. It's the Health and Recreation Centre. It's got a gym, pool, spa, sauna.
Oh, big center. Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty decent. Yeah, and it's well-maintained as well. So it's. Yeah.
And you said that's opened up now?
It is back open. So things are different since opening back up, as you can imagine. A lot more cleaning. So.
Yeah. Are you having to wear a mask when you train, when you work out?
No, actually, no. So there's no sort of enforcement to wear a mask at the moment for us, which is, I mean, it's a blessing, I think, because I don't know how I'd go with
your mask. Oh, it's brutal. The last time I went to Gold's Gym is like a couple months ago. Hell, you know, they want to take your temperature. They give you gloves to put on, mask. Okay. But, you know, it's in so many ways, all they're doing, a lot of these places, because the mask thing has been real, it's kind of a touchy issue, I know, in America, because we're not the type of people that like to put stuff on like that. And, you know, but a lot of times what will happen is once you get past the door that you're going in, you just take it off and nobody bothers you. They're just kind of trying to cover their ass because it's one of those things that it's mandated, and it really isn't, because it's, you know, they're overreaching, but they're the people that they scare. They just whip them into line and everybody else starts shaming everybody else. It's sick. What's going on?
I can imagine.
Yeah, brutal. Okay. And then, and I know that you're, when I met you in Vegas, you are also someone who's known as Thor.
Yeah.
Is that right?
It is right.
Why don't you go ahead and explain to us a little bit about how that all evolved? We know that you're a personal trainer. And so how did Thor come about?
I'll give you the standard story that I'll give everyone else. But I'll try and make it interesting as much as you can.
Make it special for me.
I'll make it special.
Make me feel good.
We'll do. So around about 6 years ago, 7 years ago, I moved down to Melbourne from where I'm currently at, Canberra. moved down to Melbourne, which is a big city in Australia.
Yeah.
And went down there for a bit of a career change. And I always loved professional wrestling, actually. So I always wanted to try out this professional wrestling and actually give it a go. Having, you know, grown up and watched it as a kid and really was taken by the theatrics and the entertainment side of it and the athleticism too. So I thought, you know what? Melbourne's a big city. It's got lots of entertainment and vibe about it. So I looked it up and sure enough, there was a training center there. So I said, you know what? I'm going to start training and do this professional wrestling thing. You know, a bit of a fun, bit of a laugh. So did that for about 3-6 months. And part of it, you know, you've got to create a character as well.
Yeah.
Everyone loves a character. Everyone loves a character with long hair. So I grew the hair out. And at that stage, it was when people started to sort of make a connection. You know, you look like this Thor character.
Yeah, yeah,
at
yeah.
At the time, I had no idea who he was. You know, I had no idea who Thor was. I hadn't watched the movies. Hadn't done the comics or read about them. So I really had to look into it and go, okay, who is this Thor guy?
Yeah.
And then sure enough, watch the movie and, you know, with Chris Hemsworth in it. And I'm like, oh, okay, yeah, I can see the resemblance there. So...
And now, a word from our sponsor.
Do you want a bone-crushing grip? Good, because you're going to get one with the amazing new TRS Gripper. It's a progressive grip builder with longer handles and a special ergonomic design that's like a dozen hand grippers in one. Start off easy and work your way up to quickly build your grip strength from wet noodle to pulverizing. The package includes a video from the world-famous strength coach, Dr. Russ Horine, the man who worked with Leo Costa to help bring you big beyond belief in the Bulgarian Power Burst. Dr. Horine shows you a simple and easy to follow workout plan that takes just minutes a day right from in front of your TV set if you want. So click on the link below and let's get started building you a stronger, firmer, bone-crushing grip.
Little I went on and I thought, you know what, I'm so excited about this character and portraying a character because that's what you do in wrestling. And I thought, you know what, I'm gonna take this Thor character and just have a bit of fun with it. So I decided to go to a comic convention that we had here in Australia, down in Melbourne. So that was in 2015 and I had made my own little costume for that convention. Went along. Had a blast. Somehow I got on the morning TV show with the Weather Cross. They sometimes go to events and they do that sort of stuff. So met a lot of people on that day and it was just an amazing experience. It was really cool just to mix in that community, which I've never had an experience in mixing with before. So met a ton of people. I actually met some representatives from Marvel on that day who had a stand at this comic convention. And I just remember one of them saying to me, you know, we could really use a Thor character, you know, on the team, you know, an impersonator, if you like. So I got a business card and they said, you know, get in touch and we'll see where this can go. And long story short, I had an audition with a casting agency here in Melbourne or down in Melbourne. And, next thing, I'm working for Marvel on jobs and tripping around the country and doing little marketing gigs and promoting movies and all that sort of stuff. So it was a really cool experience. Yeah, this sort of happened over a good stretch of 2 or 3 years.
Yeah, it takes a while to develop that.
Yeah, but for something that just sort of started from just shits and giggles, having a bit of fun at this Comic-Con, sort of. Ended up being quite, prosperous in that. So.
Do you find yourself being in character most of the time? Is it something that switches back and forth? How does that work?
Because
I would think that you'd have to be, you would almost be in character. I mean, all the time, your hair, you look the part, and you know, I don't know. Is it something, a switch that you can turn on and off? Is it like that?
I think so. I mean, you know, just now telling the story, I suppose, there's kind of like an onerous, you know, that you need to sort of touch in that character a little bit just to kind of tell you the story, I suppose.
Well, not only that,
get into it, so.
Yeah, it makes you authentic. If you don't really buy into that, I mean, that's what acting is.
You got to sell it.
You got to sell it, and it's like it's not acting. Yeah. You know, when it looks like it's acting, you're either trying too hard or not trying hard enough, I think.
That's right, yeah.
So and when the
costume goes on, it's like, yeah.
I bet even more.
Right. I think that's the switch.
Yeah. Now, have you been always, I would think that to do stuff like that, you'd have to be outgoing. And would you say that you just, by nature, you have an outgoing personality and it was just sort of something that was real easy for you to go into? Or are you like me?
No, not at all.
No, you weren't? Not outgoing, huh?
So I was quite heavy set as a young kid. I think I tipped the scales about 117 kilos at my heaviest. And that wasn't while I was training. That was basically fat. When I was about 16 years old, that was kind of at my peak height of 117 kilos. So, you know, you can imagine at that age and that weight, my confidence levels were, I had none. So, by nature at that stage, you know, I had very, very little sort of self-confidence, I suppose.
Yeah.
But just over the years, you know, becoming involved in fitness and health and improving that for myself, my confidence just shot up. So, and even to the point where, you know, I was down in Melbourne there, I wasn't that sort of massive outgoing sort of person. Not until I started to become involved in, you know, things like this, you know, training, for professional wrestling and getting involved with the Thor thing as well. So that was a massive confidence booster in itself.
Yeah.
Just going along to these comic conventions and interacting with so many different people and just being put on the spot time and time again, you know, where you would just have to think up something to say for in a conversation or how to respond. You know, there's no script. It's just you go.
Yeah. So, I'm interested to know. I mean, at 16 years of age, you were basically overweight, didn't have confidence. So, what made you get into being proactive on your own? There's a lot of kids 16 years of age that don't have that particular drive. There's not enough pain there, I guess. Or something.
That's probably it. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I was unhappy. No, 100% what you mean. Yeah. It was probably just because I was unhappy and just feeling crap, basically.
Yeah.
So that was the motivator. And yeah, but I think mentioned pain. That's where it came from. So.
At that moment, though, did you, the proactive thing that you did, was that walking into a gym and just starting to, did you just figure start exercising, or was diet a part of your, you know, was that in your strategy? What was that mindset? What made you, when you took that step, which step and where did you go first?
I think the first time I went into a gym, actually, I was with my dad. We went to just a local gym down where we lived in sort of South Canberra area. But the real sort of changes came in college or year 12 for us. So I was around about 16 years old started to get more active with sports. So I used to play rugby union.
Oh, okay.
So that was a good motivator as well, as just moving around in a team environment, having some encouragement from others.
Yeah.
Just to sort of say, you know, hey, again, I was a big fella. So when I started to train, I did kind of, I guess, have the benefit of filling out a little bit, I suppose, with some lean muscle and kind of that was, I guess, a bit of a motivator too, is to be kind of looking a little bit sort of more strong and confident as I started training.
Yeah.
So
did you, at that point, were you, you know, because when you start like that, I'm thinking about when I started in my weight training career, and back then it was about magazines, having my nose in all these magazines. Now it's much different with social media. Were you like looking, just, were you that type of person that you were enthusiastic and you wanted to find out about information so you could learn how to train the best way? Did you copy somebody? I mean, you just don't walk into a gym and start lifting weights and things happen. That is also a process. So how did you go through that process? I know you walked into the gym with your dad, but then where did it go from there?
So I had a little bit of guidance from the sporting team I was involved in. But one notable, something that really got my direction was approaching one of the personal trainers in the gym. I basically looked at the biggest guy there with all the muscles, Tim Morton is his name. big guy, bodybuilder type, but never actually competed. But he looked the part. Just one day approached him and said, "Hey, would you be able to do me a program so I can kind of look like you?" That's probably a turning point. That was a turning point. And he was nice enough to give me the time and show me a few things. I actually just met him in the other shops the other day after it would be 18 odd years after seeing him. So
how does he look now?
He still looks amazing.
Is that right?
He'd be in his 50s, possibly 60s, but he's looking amazing.
Nice.
Yeah, and that's what happens when you continue to go down the path of health and fitness. As you know, Leo, you look amazing as well. So
thank you, sir.
You can attest to that. Yeah.
Well, it's also really amazing to me when you look back at your life and the people that have entered your life, how some of those people, like this guy for you, he was very impactful to you, to your your progress, you know. And there's certain people throughout your life that, you know, they're mentors or they may be a coach. I had that same experience where there's certain people that have come in that just, you know, some people that just are in and out of your life, but some people never go away because they have that kind of a strong impact. They did something to you that changed your life. And of course, you were part of the process. I mean, it doesn't do any good unless you're part of the process. And that's a lot of times that's what's wrong with the people that are coming to the trainer to get in shape. You know, I always tell them, I said, you know, in order for this to be really, I can give you the best information in the world and I will, but you have to be a part of the process and you are a part of that process. He could have given you a gold standard training course, but if you didn't follow it, you know, nothing would have happened. So, you know, that's kudos to you as well because you were proactive. That's cool.
Thanks, mate. Yeah. And you just nailed it on the head as well when you said, you know, you just mentioned people coming in and out of your lives. Like, again, for me coming back here to Canberra, I've actually, again, reconnected closer to some of the trainers I knew from years and years ago. Another one's Billy and Alan, who friends of mine here in Canberra, who I sort of lost touch with when I was down in Melbourne. But they were both impactful as well because they both guided me in one of my first bodybuilding competitions, which I competed back in 2009, which is when I first got into the bodybuilding side of things.
Yeah.
It's just what you mentioned there just sort of struck a nerve, you know, people sort of re-entering your lives and just sort of they're always kind of there. So that was pretty cool.
I find that really interesting. It's like, you know, and when I look around sometimes I think, well, my goodness, I've known this person now for 30 years. You know, they're still around. I mean, my marriage didn't last that long. And, you know, they're still around and it's pretty interesting. And I also find it interesting because I'm actually someone, the reason why I asked if you were outgoing, because I'm not outgoing, generally speaking. I mean, I dropped classes when I was younger in school because I didn't want to do any oral presentations and I'm just not good like that, you know, but I also knew that, and there was that pain factor there because I knew that if I was going to be in the business that I eventually got into, I had to go out and promote and be different. Mm-hmm. And lo and behold, it's interesting what we find out about ourselves because I didn't know that I was a good speaker. I mean, I am patting myself on the back, but I have had people tell me I'm a good speaker. And it's something that I never thought I could do. And when you do that, boy, doesn't that give you a lot of confidence? Just like when you got confidence and started making progress and seeing your body change. I mean, it's amazing what happens to you, but it also, you know, you're in that spot where you have to either adapt or die, so to speak. I mean, I'm being dramatic about that, but in stuff that you did, if you didn't adapt to that and all of a sudden just keep going, repetition be the mother of skill, getting in front of those people as Thor and developing, you would have never developed your character, caricature, I guess, or character as Thor, right?
100%. Yeah, I totally agree with what you just said, and I'm totally on your level, mate, as well. And something that stuck with me from the wrestling days as well, because I used to love all the backstage stuff more so than what you'd see on the screen. I'd be all more interested in what's happening behind the curtain.
Tell us about that. What do you mean by that?
Well, one of the things I always used to watch, they're called, you know, shoot interviews, where you'd be familiar with the term. It's just, it's off the cuff. Everyone's just go for it. You know, there's no script. There's no lines you need to know. It's just giving you the truth. Give us the story of what happens when, you know, you go through the curtains at the back there and
there you go.
Everyone's mixing and mingling and, you know,
yeah,
the face isn't necessarily friends or enemies with the heel. You know, they're like, yeah, they're both mates sort of thing.
Yeah.
So I was always interested in that. Just because, I don't know why, but one thing that always stuck with me with their characters and their personas, you know, it's one thing being a character on screen and trying to be someone else, but you're always the most interesting, in my opinion, you're always the most interesting and most effective character when you're just yourself.
Yeah.
But with the volume, you know, turned way up. And that's the sort of term that really stuck with me from wrestling is just be yourself, but just be loud and just be as much of yourself as possible. So.
Now, let me ask you this, because I've noticed on camera, as I've been doing these podcasting, as I more and more when I'm on camera, I find myself the more I'm on the camera, the more expressive I become. And I've really opened up just from doing more of these shows, because I don't, you know, I feel like when I was not being so expressive, I felt in my head that I was being expressive, but I really wasn't. But it was like dragging that out of me. Or at least forcing myself to keep doing that. I don't know. Was that kind of the way it happened with you, as far as just really bringing that out and making yourself loud? I mean, or was it just naturally?
You've got it. Yeah. I don't think it's a natural thing that comes. I mean, like just take this morning, for example, you were all pumped up, ready to go. I wasn't. So I got up at 4 a.m. or just before. I just had a coffee. So this needed to kick in. It's kicked in now, I think.
Yeah.
And you probably notice that as the interview goes on, it's probably I'm a little bit more expressive and a little bit more upbeat. So I should have did my pump up routine before I came on.
Well, the next time we do this, get up at 1 o'clock in the morning,
okay? And train.
Yeah, maybe. And train and do all that before we start this. No, you're
pre-workout.
You're great. You're doing great. I'm interested more in the behind the scenes stuff. Okay, so obviously you have these guys that are behind the scenes. They're showmen. I mean, we've heard this before that some people think, well, it's all fake. I don't think it's all fake. I think you have to be a really great athlete to be a wrestler, actually, in my opinion, because those aren't easy moves. So that is not fake. That's for sure. Obviously, when you're hitting somebody, you know, do you actually have to practice hitting somebody to where it looks real, but it's not? I mean, how do you make that look real like that in the ring?
And I'll just put a caveat out there that I'm not a professional wrestler. I'm not even sort of trained, really. I did 3 to 6 months of just kind of a little bit of here and there.
But, yeah, more of a enthusiast.
Look, I was involved with the backstage stuff on the independent scene here in Australia, a bit of it, and I got tons of contacts as well who I know. But just through that experience, I've learned enough, and over the years of being a fan, because we're all fans. I've learned a lot about that. And yeah, you're 100% right. It's, you know, anything that you get picked up and thrown around, you're going to hurt from that.
Yeah.
But there's also an art to it. You know, when you go to hit someone, it's got to look like you're hitting them. And
yeah,
the other person who's getting hit needs to sell and make it look real as well. So
yeah.
It's just, yeah. One thing that comes to mind.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
One thing that comes to mind is just how much work that really goes into it and how much passion and energy that all the performers and anyone associated with this type of thing, entertainment, just has for the business and what they do. So,
and that's the kind of stuff that the average person has no clue. I mean, you know, it's like, what do you have to do to be a professional fake wrestler? My goodness, you know, they don't know about what you're saying as far as all the training and all the dedication that goes into that. They have no clue.
No, not at all. Right? No, they just don't realize how much work and effort is really behind it. Yeah.
Did you ever see that movie called The Wrestler? I assume that you have.
Yeah, with Mickey Rourke. Yeah.
Mickey Rourke. Yeah. I thought that was pretty
great movie. Oh, one of my favorite movies, actually.
Yeah. Yeah. I liked it. It seemed so real and so, I don't know. It took it to a level that it was different. You know, you got to know that side of that business, I guess, if you will. But I thought it was really good.
Yeah. Yeah. Because that's what it's like from what I've seen, you know, in on the independent scene.
Yeah,
here in Australia, it's kind of no different.
And I'm assuming that this is a sort of a tight family, the wrestling community. I'm going to assume, and I don't know that. But my question is: are there guys that are wrestling that don't like each other, but yet when it comes to turning it on for the crowd, they put all that shit aside and they can go wrestle?
I reckon, you know, there's always heat and drama and all that. And
I would think so.
You know, he used my moves or he stole my heat or whatever it might have been.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
Might have been something that happened. But, you know, for the most part, everyone's professional in that sort of business anyway. So,
yeah.
It's kind of no different to I did a lot of kids parties, so the kids party scene here as well, you know, with the superheroes, how you hire them out and they go to kids' birthday parties or events, you know, corporate events and things.
Yeah,
there's a couple of entertainment providers, independent ones, who I wouldn't say that they have rivalries with each other, but you know that it's business, right? So they've got you know, two companies and they're both fighting for that business, I suppose. Yeah. But they're all performers at the end of the day, and they all love what they do. They just want to entertain and make people happy, really. So
yeah, and I think it's healthy to be competitive. You know, there's nothing wrong with that. I think it makes
brings
it better.
Out the best in you.
That's right. I'm just going to say that.
You want to be the best.
Like, that's
you
right.
Be the best. You know.
I see nothing wrong with that.
Captain America or Iron Man. You know, I'm exactly. The best Spider-Man. I can do a flip and whatever.
Right. So let me ask you now, as Thor. What's the end game for you, or what's the, you know, what is, there's always, I always believe that when you go in to do anything, whether if it's to go into the gym to train for a reason, you have to have a stated goal, because that starts developing, you know, sort of a strategy and a game plan, if you will. And again, we know about game plans, that game plans can change. You have to be flexible. But what's your being Thor? What is it? What's your goal of being Thor as far as to the public that you're entertaining?
So it actually opened a lot of doors in doing it. I still do it. I'm still involved with being the character and doing various bits and pieces, jobs, if you like. But it really opened up a lot of doors in the sense that, you know, I did a little bit of acting as well. So been in a couple of TV commercials, a small independent production for a TV show as well. Talking with a whole other bunch of people about doing some projects as well, which have been talk, you know, as you know, in over the years. It's just been a really good sort of, I suppose, avenue to open me up into a whole different realm of activities, entertainment activities, I suppose.
Yeah. Do you have a target?
So in terms of the end game? It's not like I'm going to, I don't think I'll be carrying this on, you know, for forever.
Well, you don't think you can jump off of tall buildings when you're 40 or what? You're not 40, are you? You're way younger.
I'll be 34.
You baby. Oh, I remember the days. Yeah. No, but
I hope you'll be jumping around at 40 and 50 and 60. So
you will be able to. I had an old timer once tell me, he said, I can still do the things I did before. It just takes longer. That's all.
Yeah. And actually, you know, I'm surprised your knees still work after training with Tom Platz, mate. I've seen a few of those videos, you know, you doing the squats, and it's just amazing. So
I still have flashback trauma from that. Okay. If I start sweating right now, you know what happened. That was traumatic, man. Seriously.
I can only imagine.
Hey, the demographic that you attract, is there a certain demographic? Is it young? Is it across the board? Men, women, age-wise and all that? Or is there a certain group of people that you attract?
Kind of across the board, I suppose. But, you know, I'm really involved with the cosplay community, I suppose you could say, and the pop culture community. So having going to all these conventions over the years, I've met a whole lot of people.
Yeah.
And they're great. They're just, you know, amazing, friendly, happy, cheerful people. And that's the sort of environment you want to be around, really.
Yeah.
At any time of the day or night in your life. So I suppose those are the sort of people I've become to know and be friends with, which has worked really well for I guess my business as well in the coaching and the personal training side of things is, you know, bringing some sort of inspiration as to why you're doing it, why you're bettering your health and fitness, what inspires you.
Yeah.
And certainly for me, it's characters like, you know, wrestlers and superheroes, Thor and you know, guys you see on the big screen. That's the sort of source of inspiration to do as much and as best as you can in life and just really bringing it out of yourself. So
have you ever thought about a character is Thor, but have you ever thought about developing another personality or another superhero type personality, or is it always just it's been Thor and that's been okay for you?
Yeah, in terms of playing that character, I suppose I got that look, you know, with the hair and whatever. Yeah. So any sort of Viking character is kind of it's a look and it sort of works for me.
Yeah.
I did a kid's party as Captain America once.
Okay.
So
were the kids just jumping all over you?
Oh yeah, they always do. Yeah. We had a Spider-Man at that party too, and he jumped off the roof. So that was
That's cool.
That was pretty cool. Yeah, and again, like these guys are, you know, they're performers, so it's a lot of work goes into it.
Yeah. So on the inside of things, have you ever had what it sounds like that you do? Obviously, you have a good time, and you enjoy that. But what about those days that you don't feel like being there, but yet you have to be there? Is that just something that you're a professional enough, the show must go on? And, because with trainers, for example, and I don't know if this is really a good example that I'm going to be using, but oftentimes with trainers that but trainers that are really not professional, they let the day-to-day life stuff drama get in their way. And it's passed on to the client, which does not deserve that. And I used to see that over the years. I've been around for 1,000 years in this industry. I've seen a lot of trainers. And there's a reason, in our country, there's 95% of the people that get into training, Andrew, don't make it. They fail. And that includes people getting into the gym business as well as personal trainers. And, from my experiences, I know of the reason why. Because they don't take their job. And they're not really looking at this as something professional. And because there's a commitment in my mind that you make when you make that decision that this is something I'm going to do full time. And I think part of the thing that I saw that maybe made the 95% be so high was that people are usually doing personal training. I've seen a lot of it in between a gig, waiting to do an audition. For example, or just something that they did to make some extra money, but they really weren't in it all the way. I guess that's the best way to say that. But I guess what you're saying, and I assume that when you're a real pro, it doesn't matter if you've got a headache or your back is hurting or your girlfriend or wife is pissed off, the show has to go on. You got to put that shit away and compartmentalize it, and the show goes on, and the people that you're entertaining never know the difference.
Yeah, that's right. I think you nailed it on the head, and it resonates with me a lot. Someone comes to you wanting something,
Yeah.
In some cases, you're going to be that person that might
that help mentor.
Them change their lives.
Yeah,
their mentor.
Exactly.
If you've got a scheduled session on a day and that person wants to come and see you, this is a bit of advice I got off another mentor of mine. That hour that you're with them, it might be the highlight of their day or their week. It might be the most important part of their week. And if you're not there in a professional sense, and if you're not holding yourself and conducting yourself professionally, and you're just taking the piss and you're just there for the cash or whatever it is, and they don't get that experience of what they are there for, then it's just you fail to deliver and you're not a professional. You're not serious. So.
No, and you're the amount of clients that you actually will retain will reflect that.
Zero.
Because people after a while, they just say, why the hell should I pay him all this money?
I'll see it.
He seems like he's just there, but not really there type thing.
Exactly. Yeah. And we get in this business because we want to help people.
Exactly.
Just like people helped me over the years. I've already mentioned their names, Tim, Alan, Billy, three influential people in my life, in my fitness career. You're there to help people change.
Yeah.
And
the truth of the matter is, and this is what the average trainer doesn't see, or especially the person, it takes a dedication and it takes energy and discipline to be able to rock it out and go out there and be on your game most of the time. Look, we're all going to have off days. We're human beings, okay? There's no question about that. But even your off day is better than most people. When you're really a pro, type of thing. And trainers don't realize that sometimes. Listen, I got humbled and it kind of changed. I had a guy that I trained, and I've been in it for at this point quite a while. But when somebody says that you don't realize, Leo, that you saved my life, I'm like thinking, you got to be kidding me. But that's the kind of impact. That's just an example, but it happened. Mm. People would say, you know, you don't realize what you have brought to me. And sometimes I think we just take it for granted because we're doing it all the time. And yeah, you don't really keep that in mind. I think that I've always kept that in mind to realize that, look, you're this person came to you, like you said, for something. And and remember that. And when you come to train that person, you give everything. Because I always knew when I was training as a trainer, and even to this day, when I go home and I'm wiped out, it's not from physical training anymore. And it wasn't even back then, because, I mean, I was on a regimented training schedule, but it was 5 days a week. But training clients and giving them everything that I had inside got me way more tired than my weight training did, if that makes any sense. And I knew I knew that I was doing my job the right way, because I was giving everything that I had. What else can I give?
That's right. Yeah, you got to give yourself emotionally as well, not just physically. You know, half the time you're not actually doing much in your training session. I mean, you know, you get up early, you work the whole day. It's physical, but like you said, a lot of it's
my dad.
Of thinking.
Yeah, my dad used to tell me. Yeah, you know, old timers. I am one of those now, by the way, but my dad used to tell me, he said, my dad used to say the mental stress is much harder than the physical stress. And he was right. They know stuff like that. You know why? Because they've been around a long time. They've experienced that. And he was right all the time. He's been right most of the time. And the closer I get to being an older old timer, I realize that they were very knowledgeable. I just wish I would have paid more attention to that.
That's wisdom, and wisdom. I'm taking it in right now.
Yeah, you know, I see here that you dropped 40 kilograms, and what was the reason? Yep. That's a lot of damn weight. What was the reason that you did that, dropping that weight? Was it for your character?
It was over a stretch of time. So again, I think I mentioned before, 117 kilos, which was what I was, my heaviest. Since then, the lightest I'd ever been was when I was on the bodybuilding stage at about 80 kilos, and I still had weight to lose, but you know, from where I came from, I was looking good. Yeah. I never did the bodybuilding stuff to be really competitive. It was just more so as a challenge for myself, just to get up there and do it.
Yeah.
People got their opinions on whether that's the right platform to do that.
Everybody has an opinion.
Exactly. Yeah. It's like assholes. Everyone's got one.
Exactly. Right.
Yeah, same and page. I probably agree with them. You know, if you have a goal of weight loss and you want to showcase that, maybe bodybuilding isn't the stage for it, or perhaps a particular, you know, event might be, not so much other events.
I think
Natural Olympia was really cool, though. I'll just mention that. That was,
I think what's really important in what you did is that it didn't matter where you went to do that; you got the result that you're looking for. And who gives a damn if you're on a bodybuilding stage or if you shouldn't be there, if you should take a different path. I'm looking at the result of what you did, and that speaks volumes as far as I'm concerned, because that's, you know, that taught you something, and that just gave you somewhere else to go to improve on that. So again, everybody has an opinion. Yeah. Big deal. You got the result. Now, when you lost all this weight, did you have somebody coaching you to make sure that you're dropping weight in the right way? And how did that look like for you during that process of losing the 40 kilograms?
Yeah, I did. So first time around, again, I mentioned his name, Billy. He guided me through that process to drop the weight and get on the stage. I was really happy with the progress I made. We took around about 12 to 14 weeks to do that. And I made some incredible results. And that was my first introduction to these type of events. And it was a crazy experience, but a really, really good one, really humbling one as well.
Yeah.
you got to see how much dedication and work goes into the sport.
Yeah.
And then about 4 years later, I did another competition, just sort of figured, you know, why the hell not? Let's do it.
Yeah.
And that time I took a little bit longer, actually. I took about 22, 24 weeks just to diet down a lot more slowly. So didn't lose as much. It wasn't as impactful over that time, but that was another that was another positive experience as well, because I learned in that experience. It was different to the first time. And I think that's the key, is learning every time.
Yep.
You learn every time you do it. So, I mean, I've only done 3 competitions, I suppose. So I'm no veteran by any stretch, but I know what's involved in the process. And the more you do it, the more you learn.
And so, I can tell you that you learn every single time. It's amazing. Mm. You know, because your body is always different in some ways. So, you know, and I think that's really the hardest thing for me. It was all about, at the end of the day, being able to produce and reproduce a result when I wanted. That's the stated goal for me. That's a hard thing to achieve, because you're dealing with a body that's always in flux. And, you know, it also makes you to agree a master. You can become a master of your body, but it takes a long time to do that. These people that become masters, you know, you talk about years and years of dedication to something. But it's like you said, it was so difficult, because not only is it hard to drop weight and drop body fat instead of burning up all your muscle, because you can you can lose that in a hurry. You probably already know that. But, you know, to do it in a way. You know, Tom Platz once told me, he said, you got to think of this as like a plane landing into a competition, referring to a high, you know, going into a competition, because the tendency of a mindset of a bodybuilder that's a student of the game is that you want to keep cranking it up just a little bit more. I'm going to get a little bit better, especially when you're going into a competition. And what oftentimes happens is that you crash land into the show because you've overdone it. You get to that point where there's that fine line that you're playing with. And one little thing can just send you, at the last week, for example, you can ruin everything that you did in your off season if you're not careful.
But, just by making a couple of decisions, yeah.
Yeah, but that's the part of the sport that attracted me to the sport. It was so damn hard, and I wanted to be in that sport. It was brutal, because it's like, damn, you know? I thought I had it, and you just can't, like, I started writing stuff down. Tom made me start writing things down instead of just remembering what I had done. So I tracked everything. He said it was the difference between me telling you how to get to LA and then you following a map. That was his analogy, you know? So he said, write everything down. That way you can take a look at what's going on and see where you need to go forward and blah, blah, blah. And even with that being said, you know, it helped. But yeah, it's the hardest thing I've ever done. Besides, you know, I don't know if you know this, but 8 years ago I had 3 strokes that paralyzed me. And I recovered from that. That's probably been the hardest thing I've ever done, is to rehab paralysis, because I was paralyzed and I came back from that. Thank goodness I had bodybuilding. But aside from that, bodybuilding is definitely the hardest thing that I've ever done. And you can understand that, because it's relentless. The stuff that you have to do to get a look on stage is unbelievable.
And the resilience you learn from it as well. I mean, that's why you've got through it so well, I believe, Leo, is you know, you wouldn't even know that you've gone through that. And I think those years of training and all that health and fitness training and that resilience that you've built over the time is probably that's the reason why.
All right, let's take a quick break so I can tell you about our product.
Do you want a bone-crushing grip? Good, because you're gonna get one with the amazing new TRS Gripper. It's a progressive grip builder with longer handles and a special ergonomic design that's like a dozen hand grippers in one. Start off easy and work your way up to quickly build your grip strength from wet noodle to pulverizing. The package includes a video from the world-famous strength coach, Dr. Russ Horine, the man who worked with Leo Costa to help bring you big beyond belief in the Bulgarian Power Burst. Dr. Horine shows you a simple and easy to follow workout plan that takes just minutes a day right from in front of your TV set if you want. So click on the link below and let's get started building you a stronger, firmer, bone-crushing grip.
It's immeasurable. I mean, you really don't know how much, you know, I think you said the same thing, because everything that you've done has been an experience from something that you've done prior. You've learned from it and you've used that. See, not everybody does that. You know, some people don't ever do that, you know? So it's really a few people that do. You're one of those people, obviously. Okay, so where do you go from here as far as you know, the next 5 years? I know it's hard to look that far ahead, but it's kind of fun to play with that. I like to let my imagination sometimes run wild. But what's in the next 5 years for you? Personally wise or business wise?
Yeah, I guess I'll start with the training side of things. Recently, I've just sort of taken up more strength training, so focusing on building up my lifts. I haven't really been one to sort of track my, you know, one RMs, one rep maxes or anything like that. Yeah. So just kind of interested to see where I can go with that. I've always really trained just for aesthetics, to be honest, and a little bit of athleticism too, just to make sure that I'm moving around, I'm fit and healthy, and I can go when I need to.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's something that's really sort of sparked my interest lately is doing a bit of that strength training. And again, that's probably because I'm back here in Canberra and I've reconnected with certain people, and
yeah,
my outlook on training has just changed a lot as well over the years too. So I'm focusing more on a particular style of training, which is interesting. For the short term, I think I'll be here. I won't be going anywhere, especially overseas.
Yeah, really.
I
hear that they're going to be doing the Olympia still in Vegas, but I don't know how that's cool. I don't know how that's going to look. You know what I mean? I mean,
whatever time it's on, if it's in someone's backyard, I'll still watch it.
Yeah.
I think I was at work last year when it was on. So I was at work, you know, this is going to get me in trouble, but I was sitting there with, you know, it was on next to my monitor, so I'm just watching it, you know, as I'm doing my thing. So
yeah,
I'll never miss that. So wherever it's on, I'll be watching that one for sure.
What is you have a community, you're calling it team accountable. What does that mean?
Yes. So we're all basically accountable to, you know, doing our workouts, eating our healthy food, remaining accountable to our training regime, basically. But our accountables are just, we're all accountable to each other. So, you know, if someone's having a crappy day, let's lift them up. Let's make sure that they're holding themselves accountable to each and every one of us. And
so is this just applying to your clientele, or are you developing, community to me is much bigger. Is there something that you're doing to create this community and to keep?
That's what I'm trying to do. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So, I mean, it started with clientele, I suppose, with my online coaching business. So I've done that for a few years now. And I've had some incredible people come to me and make some incredible changes as well, on their own accord, which is fantastic to see. But it's sort of grown into a community now where, you know, I'm happy to welcome anyone in who wants to make a change.
Yeah.
Whether I'm coaching them or being paid for it or not, you know, if I can help in some way,
yeah,
even if it's just having them included in this community,
yeah,
just so they feel like they're accountable to someone else as well. That can be the difference between sticking to something and not.
Sure.
So, you know, it doesn't cost me any money for them
or
any time really to have them included in that community. So, you know, why not?
This community idea, team accountable, is it something that you do like on Zoom or social media platform like that?
So we're largely on Instagram. I've got a page for that one.
Okay.
And that's more so me just kind of communicating some of the things that I know and I believe that everyone else can benefit from as well.
Yeah.
I do have my sort of more in-depth coaching side of things where I do catch up with people, you know, at least once a week for a Skype chat or whatever it might be. So, you know, for a decent chat to see how things are going and where and what we can do to improve things or troubleshoot, really. That's all it is. Week to week, it's just about, you know, finding what was good, finding what was bad, taking the good, fixing the bad.
Yeah.
And moving on like that, that's kind of how the coaching goes, I suppose. But those are the sorts of platforms that we operate across. It's mainly Instagram, but normally I'll do a one-on-one with someone. I was just going to ask you
if it was one-on-one or if you did like a group thing.
You get more out of it one-on-one, I think.
Yeah.
Because everyone's got their own, situation, I suppose. And to apply something to personally for that situation, I think helps the greatest.
Yeah,
you know, I love something that everyone can follow. That's great, but if you want specific results tailored for you. You know, you kind of got to drill down to the individual. So that's why I like to just talk one-on-one usually.
Yeah, no, I agree with you on that. Okay, so do you think you'll be, who knows when you'll be coming out to the States again, hopefully 2021. I got a feeling, I'm just going to guess at this because so much of this is political, at least in our country. I got a feeling that once the election is over, things are going to change dramatically, but we'll see how that goes. And I think it'll probably change for the better, hopefully, that, you know, some of this stuff will just, it'll change. Let's just hope that it does, that we can open up and start traveling again.
Definitely.
Why don't you, for the sake of people finding you, I mean, you said your Instagram, do you have, you want to let people know where they can maybe get a hold of you for some of your one-on-one training?
Yeah, sure thing. Thanks, Leo. So on Instagram, you can find me just by my name, Andrew Litomsky. I'm pretty responsive on there. So if you want to shoot me a message, more than happy to chat, see how I can help or, you know, tell me a story. That's all good.
Yeah. Do you have a website?
I don't have a website, but I've got an online, an app through a platform that I use. So probably the best way to do it, to get to me is through Instagram, I suppose.
Okay.
And yeah, again, if you wanted to do the coaching or the personal training, happy to respond to you on that. So
nice.
That's probably the best place to find me.
Very good. Yeah. Excellent. Listen, it's been an honor having you come on. You got up at 4 o'clock in the morning. Kudos to you for that. And I really appreciate you coming on. And we learned a little bit more about Andrew and Thor. And, you know, I've got like 4 grandkids now. So, you never know. One of these days, those grandkids might be jumping on you. Better. Anyway.
That's awesome, mate.
Yeah.
Leo, it was an absolute pleasure, mate. Thank you for having me on the show.
Right on.
Really appreciate it. It's been great to chat.
Yeah, if there's anything that you ever want to talk about, I'm serious about that, please reach back out. If you've got somebody that you'd like to highlight, I know you brought somebody with you to the Olympia, right? There was a guy with you there?
Mike. He's from Florida.
Yeah, and he was somebody that you transformed. Is that correct?
Mike's done everything by himself. He's I think he's lost almost 100 pounds now, which is amazing.
Yeah.
I've guided him in the way that other people have guided me. Mentors have guided me. So yeah. I can't speak more highly of his dedication and his focus to changing, making those changes. But yeah, it's incredible to see what he's done over, I think it's 18 months, 19 months that we've been training together. Mike approached me in 2018, at the end of 2018, and we started working together in January 2019. And
was he living in Florida at the time?
Yeah, so he's always been in Florida. I've been in here in Canberra or Melbourne. So yeah. we've basically communicated over Skype, over the phone. And then, in Vegas at the Natural Olympia, we got the opportunity to meet each other. Hung out for a week. It was amazing. It was an amazing experience.
You guys
all sorts of cool stuff there.
Yeah, you guys were quite a duo. I remember you guys, you know.
Yeah.
That was pretty funny.
We were dressed up at Captain America.
I loved it.
Costumes on.
Very cool.
Awesome, man. Yeah. Amazing experience.
It really was
as well.
Yeah. I had been out of the sport for about 13, 14 years. So to go back to that and see that whole thing, the way it was run, and it was really great to see that, you know, and the diversity and everybody that was there. It was awesome. It was a really good experience for me as well.
It was.
Anyway, well, listen, you stay safe over there and in Australia. I've never been to Australia yet, but I'm told by headquarters, that's code for my wife. That she wants to go there. So maybe someday we'll meet again.
Worthwhile, mate. Yeah, let me know if and when you're over here.
I will. Now I have your Instagram, so I'll let you know.
Yeah, hit me up.
All right, Andrew. You take care of yourself.
Thanks, Leo. You too. Thanks,
take care.
All the best.
Bye-bye.
Cheers, mate. Bye-bye.
Good interview, Andrew.
Awesome.
Good job.
Yeah, that was great. Thanks, mate.
Yeah, had fun.
Yeah, this was so cool.
Yeah, I love it. Yeah, this is
one
of the things.
Good to actually have a chat.
Yeah, this is one of the things, you know, after all these years of being out of the industry, I asked myself at certain stages of my life, how do I stay relative? You know, because this industry for me has been a game changer of life because, you know, I like a lot of people in life, especially when they go through life and work, a lot of people aren't as lucky as I think myself and people like yourself who are doing something that they have great passion for. I think most people don't have that for whatever reason, you know? And for me to get in, because I was in my culture, Portuguese, we're big into the dairy business, right? And so it's kind of expected for the next generation just take it over. And I was that person that out of college, I didn't know what the hell I wanted to do. So the safe bet was just to go on work on the dairy, the family dairy. But it wasn't something that was in my blood. It was one of those things where I was just going through the motions, you know?
Yeah.
And I wasn't looking forward to getting up the next day. It was just something that I had, you know? So when I got into
it. So you kind of defected, did you?
And I defected. I was like the black sheep. I mean, no one disowned me that I remember. But I knew I had to do that, Andrew. Or even if it wasn't like during those days in my town, there was no personal training going on. None. Zero. And it didn't even matter to me because I just thought if I don't do this, it's going to be a mistake. I just, you know, sometimes you just have a gut feeling, right?
You could feel it. Yeah.
You could feel it. And I started doing personal training. I learned bodybuilding first and I learned from those experiences to give it to people that would see me in the gym and they were interested in how to, you know, it just builds on that, you know? Mm. First, it started with me understanding and being that student of the game and knowing everything about that to the nth degree about it, you know, all that. So it's a big investment really when you think about that. That's what you have to do in anything that you want to be great at, I think. Mm. It changed my life forever, and I've been in this business. And now I'm, you know, at this age, I'm happy to tell you, hopefully it maybe can inspire you. At the age of 65, I am more excited about getting up now and going to work as I've ever been. And I think I'm so fucking lucky to be able to be in that spot. And I hope that you someday are that person, because it's amazing to still want to get up.
Yeah.
I'm getting all dressed up for nothing. I just come do my podcast and, you know, but I love it. This is.
I should have dressed up, man. Sorry.
No. It's a long story why I'm dressing up, but that's another podcast. But I just think it's amazing to, so my being relative now, I thought, well, I'll just start podcasting, because in my day we wrote training courses and we were able to communicate with people through our training courses. We sold a lot of them worldwide. We made like six training courses, you know, and then now it's a new age, you know, a lot of information out there and social media. And I'm thinking, well, how can I make a difference? Cause I still want to be in it. I still want to play a little bit. And it's right here doing this podcasting. I get to chat with people and hopefully it's a chat that comes off that we're just a couple people just chatting. It's not really an interview necessarily. It's just chatting. And I think that makes it kind of
that off the cuff.
Yeah. And I think that makes it authentic and real. And you know what? I'm still living the dream, baby.
That's it. That's
okay.
It.
There you go.
You need to find something that grabs you. And
that's right.
Just I'm grabbed. A reason to do it. Yeah.
Oh, I love it. Sure. I love it. So anyway, nice talking to you. I will see each other again.
Yeah, I really hope so, mate. Yeah, this has been fantastic. And thanks again, mate.
You bet.
Right on. I had a blast.
Take care.
See you later.
Thanks for listening to the Serious Growth Podcast. For more episodes like the one you just listened to, subscribe to us on your mobile podcast app and leave us a review. If you'd like to reach out, you can find us online at seriousgrowth.com. Until next time, train smart and train hard.